Hello, my name is Sebastian. I am a student, a high school student, a junior, and today I will be discussing about the capital gains tax, its effect on the impoverished in the United States, and whether or not abolishing the tax would benefit the poor or hurt them. So, first to start, what is the capital gains tax itself? So, Investopedia defines a capital gains tax as a type of tax levied on capital gains profits an investor realizes when he sells a capital asset for a price that is higher than the purchase price. Capital gains taxes are only triggered when an asset is realized, not while it is being held by an investor. This means that he can own stock shares, for example, that appreciate every year, but does not owe a capital gains tax on the shares until he sells them, no matter how long they're held. So, for example, let's say you buy a house for $100,000, and then 2 years later, you sell it for $200,000. That means you would get a profit of $100,000. So, right now the current rate of the capital gains tax is approximately 30%, but it fluctuates based on your income. So let's say it's 30%. So of that $100,000 that you made, 30% of that is taxed to the U.S. government. So this tax makes up around 2% of total government revenue. So it is a pretty important tax, but it is not like the most important one. So the capital gains tax is mainly used as a regulator of the economy. Congress and the president increase and decrease this tax based on how much revenue and money they want to be flowing in the system of our economy. So one way that abolishing the capital gains tax would hurt the poor people of the United States would be that it would most likely increase income inequality. According to the Washington Post, the capital gains tax are the single biggest driver of economic inequality and the wealth gap in the U.S. But unfortunately, high levels of inequality can be an impediment to economic growth. The United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs explains that inequality and growth are tightly related, and that the more unequal a state, the worse their growth prospects are. Now, raising the capital gains tax is an effective strategy for slowing the pace of rising income inequality, which will likely become a policy priority for federal government in the future. Now, that's really important because when you abolish this capital gains tax, the rich are going to be able to invest and the poor aren't. That's going to create more income inequality, but because when you get rid of a tax, people are going to make more money, but the rich can only invest. Now, another way that the capital gains tax would hurt the impoverished people is going to hurt America's forgotten communities. So even as the economy has recovered and investment has increased in the majority of America since 2008, poor communities still lag behind and haven't caught up like the majority of the U.S. So Andrew Sorgel of U.S. News in 2017 writes that unemployment rate remains three times higher in poor areas than the rest of the nation. Now, David Banks of Impact Alpha in 2018 reports that Congress passed the Investing for Opportunities Act, which gives investors tax breaks if they invest capital gains into poverty-stricken areas that are called opportunity zones. So that's really important because investors are more likely to invest in these poverty-stricken areas, which is of course going to help and decrease income inequality. Now, when you get rid of this income inequality, when you get rid of the capital gains tax, these tax breaks that were given are gonna go away. And just like the way logistically you make more money when you're going to be investing into like more stable places, and it's just a better investment. So when you get rid of these tax breaks, people are no longer going to be investing into these poverty-stricken areas, which is gonna significantly decrease the amount of income that's coming into these opportunity zones. Now, this also parallels small businesses. Small businesses are mostly owned by definitely not the richest people. I like it. There's no like precise number of saying it, but definitely the lower half of the United States. So, Tariq Awad of Cohen and Company in 2017 explains that currently Section 1202 of the tax code offers up to 100% tax deductions for investors who put their capital in small business. Without a capital gains tax, there would be no incentive to invest in small businesses and people would just choose large companies. Now, that's really... creating an advantage for the small businesses is really important, because Ted McCourtney of the New York Times in 2016 explains that new small companies rely on private investment as their main source of funds. Now, so when you abolish this capital gains tax, there's going to be a lot less money that is going to be invested when small businesses are first starting up. That's really, really bad, because when they first start, these small businesses are no longer going to be able to fund themselves at their youth stage, and when they don't have a reliable source of income, because their investments that they rely on will no longer be there. Now, although those are the drawbacks to abolishing the capital gains tax, if you abolish the capital gains tax, it also comes with a lot of benefits. Now, the first benefit that we're going to talk about is that it's going to be creating more clean energy in the United States, which is therefore going to save lives. Okay, so now let's break this down. It's no secret that the environment and just overall pollution is much, much, much more, much, much worse in poverty-stricken areas than, let's say, like the rich parts of Manhattan. That's for sure. Now, so Joseph Rahm of the Center for American Progress explains that currently fossil fuels are exempt from capital gains tax, meaning that investors have to pay the capital gains tax to invest in sources of energy that are not fossil fuels. So that's really important, because now people are more likely to invest in fossil fuels than they are in clean energy. That's because if you invest in clean energy, you have to, and the profits you make, you lose 30% of them. So just like that, that's putting clean energy way, way behind fossil fuels, and it's basically setting them up for failure. Now, if we were to abolish this capital gains tax, it would allow green energy to compete directly on a fair playing field with fossil fuel technology. Now, that's really important, because of course the future, it has to be, because fossil fuels are finite, and they can't just, you can't reuse fossil fuels for the rest of time to come. Clean energy, like, eventually has to take over. Like, it is a must. Now, people are going to see that that's the future, and the future is the growing businesses, so more people will now be investing into clean energy. It's almost a no-brainer. Now, the impact of this is saving lives. In order to reach the goals set by the Paris Climate Accords, Gerald Eng of the OECD in 2017 writes that investment into renewable energy must increase by 150% over the next 35 years. But hope still exists, as Eng explains that there is enough capital already in the financial sector to do this, concluding that risky investment conditions have stunned the necessary investment into green technology. Now, that's really important, because Brandy Little of MIT in 2014 explains that 1% increase of the share of non-fossil fuel electricity generation reduces CO2 emissions per capita from electricity generation by about 0.75%. I believe this investment is going to pay off because Alexis Crow of USA Today reports that reducing emissions by 15% in line with the Paris Climate Accords would keep us under the dangerous carbon atmospheric levels. That's really, really important because if we go over these carbon atmospheric levels, the dangerous levels, Schindel of Duke University in 2016 quantifies that that would kill over 300,000 people by 2030, and it would continue to kill around 30,000 lives every single year after 2030. Now, also, a multinational report commissioned by over 20 countries all around the globe concludes that 100 million people will die as a result of climate change by 2030 if the world stays on its path. If we want to fix this issue of climate change and the environment and saving people, getting rid of the capital gains tax would most certainly be a very, very effective way, and it could really spur change in today's society that wants pollution. That not that wants pollution, but isn't doing anything to stop pollution, really. So the last reason why I believe the capital gains tax could, why abolishing the capital gains tax could actually be very beneficial to the people, to people in poverty, is because I believe when you abolish this capital gains tax, wages will increase. So there's going to be a really big link chain, but so I'm going to try and break it down as simple as possible. So first, Dustin Chambers of Salisbury University explains that abolishing the capital gains tax would increase stock prices up to 20%. Now, this makes sense because there's going to be more people investing in stocks. And when more people invest in stocks, more people buy than sell, stock prices go up. That means that companies are going to have a massive influx in cash, and that with it, with this excess money that they have, companies are going to be investing right back into their businesses. So one way, there's studies on studies that show that the more you pay a worker, the better his work is. So because of that, companies are definitely going to be increasing their wages for workers. Now, obviously, when you increase wages for workers, it's going to decrease poverty, and it's going to decrease the wage gap that there is in the United States that is basically bigger than anywhere else in the world. Decreasing this wage gap would be huge because it would be the very first steps into creating a more even based society that isn't dependent on the top 1%. Now, for those reasons, It is definitely a debate as to whether or not we should abolish the capital gains tax or whether we should keep it intact. Both sides have a huge impact on the impoverished, and whether we increase it or decrease it, abolish it or keep it the same, that's definitely going to impact and affect all people in the United States, and specifically will change the lives of those struggling in poverty today.